We are on Lesson 5 on the Prayer Warriors Prayer Program. We actually have quite a bit to cover tonight compared to normal. We're talking about three keys to the practical prayer encounter. We saw one of them last week on the priority of prayer. And we considered that area there on those three keys last week. This week we're going to be zeroing in on the program of prayer. And it's a nice little handy gadget to have on being able to pray 1 hour. As we made mention, last week was the priority of prayer. This week will be the practice of prayer, the program number two. Prayer, we need to understand, according to the Lord, is to be something that's foundational in the believer's life. And filling in your blanks, the first thing you have there is the word program on page number 44 or 45, depends on what you got. 43? Okay. Well, mine's on 44. But anyway, so your first blank is the word program, and so that's the second key. The program of prayer number two doesn't really matter whether you have it or not. If you don't make the key number one, prayer, the priority. Correct? You can have all the tools to be effective in prayer, but if the first key, the priority, isn't there, nothing else matters. I mean, we can have the completed Word of God that tells us how we should hide His Word in our heart, that we should sing and encourage one another. We should be doers of the Word. We can have all those things. If we don't make Christ the priority, nothing was going to matter outside of that. So when we look at the program in prayer, this is not in your outline, but the word program here is defined as a plan or a system to achieve a goal. And when you come into the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and help in a time of need, there's a goal at the end of that you want to achieve. And this is your program or your plan or your system. And by the way, let me say this, because when I kind of throw that out there that we come into the throne room to achieve a goal, the goal really, as far as Scripture is concerned, is to actually not get something, but to get someone, okay? And so it's ultimately the priority of prayer is to know God, and then the second part of that is to make God known. That way you can go out and declare what great things God has done for you as the result of prayer. And so that's where it's at. In Scripture here, you have Luke 18, verse number 1. We're all familiar with the parable that Jesus gave and said, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you look up that phrase, not to faint, those three words make up one Greek word, and it means simply never quit. There's not a time when we should just give up praying. I could probably say that there's been times where I have or wanted to give up praying on something because it just didn't seem like it was happening. But we have to trust in His sovereignty, His timing, and all of those things there. And so we see that Jesus is teaching this parable that men ought always. And by the way, the word always there doesn't mean that you're praying always. What it actually means is that this is necessary. Prayer is necessary for the effective and powerful Christian life, and that men should never quit. So there are two qualities you have here for your next blanks. Two qualities of, notice the next word, consistent prayer. Consistent prayer. The number one, consistent prayer, number one is systematic. It's systematic. There is a system that will be involved so that you can be consistent. Systematic is defined as methodical, here's your blank, efficient, something that is well ordered. When you think of the word that I had you fill in the blanks with, efficient, you want to be efficient in prayer. Ultimately, the synonym that is used with efficient, the first one that came up was You want your prayer time to be productive. Amen? You want it to produce something. And so here we see that the first quality, consistent prayer, is systematic. Look what it says here, and this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture of all time, Psalm 5, verse 1, 2, and 3. Notice what he says. He's talking, it's a prayer. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider, he's asking God, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Years ago when I was a new Christian, they had these things. They were like a black disc. They were vinyl. And they called them albums or LPs. Okay? And we had this LP that actually, a record, yeah. And it had taken Psalm 5, 1 through 3 and made it into a song. And so it was easy to memorize when you're singing it, which is scriptural, by the way. Amen? The title of the album was "That God Loves Country Music Because an Angel Told Me So." So I didn't care. We didn't get that for that reason, because I'm probably going to offend some people here. I don't care about country music. All right? That's some of the worst stuff ever written. And if you guys listen to that stuff, that is ungodly. Anyway, he said an angel told him. So notice, if you would, a couple of things here in this passage of Scripture. David understood something very important. I want you to notice how much David personalized this prayer. 7 times in that 3 verses, he says, "My, my, my, my." Look what he says. "Give ear to my words. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto my cry." He declares that you are my King, that you are my God. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." And the phrase "look up," it means there's expectation to an answer. And so you and I, again, I emphasize time and time again the importance of personalizing Scripture. Give ear to Helen's prayer, O Lord. Consider Helen's meditation. Hearken unto the voice of Helen's cry, because you're Helen's King and you're Helen's God. For unto thee will Helen pray. Helen's voice shall... just personalize these passages of Scripture. And by the way, when we get into the system of how to pray in 1 hour in 5-minute segments here, you're going to see that one of the 5-minute segments of prayer is that you are actually praying Scripture back to God. I tell you what, if you want to pray God's will, pray Scripture. And I've used this passage here several times for mine. I have gone into the book of Chronicles where it talks about the prayer of Jabez. And I have used Jabez's prayer for me. I personalize it and make it my prayer. And so you can do these things. The word in our text here, look what he says, "Will I direct my prayer?" The very last part of Psalm 5, he says, "In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." The word "direct" in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word "arak." And you can see it's already in the, right there, you're going to write it down. It already has it spelled out for you in the bracket right next to the blank. A-R-A-K, arak. Okay? And it means to set an order. You're asking God to direct my prayer. "Lord, order, set up my..." You know, the Bible says that He orders our steps, right? He also, if we ask Him, will order our prayers. As a matter of fact, that's very scriptural, because we just prayed that who has come? The Comforter has come, right? And in Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings," or with sighs, "which cannot be uttered," or not expressed. So Romans 8:26 validates what David was praying here. Direct my prayers. Order my prayers. And sometimes we have to let the Holy Spirit take our gibberish and just rearrange it and present it to our mediator, Christ himself. So it literally, the literal translation is arrange. There's your blank. It is the word arrange. Arrange my prayers before you. So the two qualities, number one is consistent prayer is systematic. Number two, consistent prayer, here's your next blank, is complete. Complete. Complete is defined as having all necessary parts, there's your blank, elements, or last blank, steps. Okay? Now, before I go on, I'll make sure everybody's got all their blanks done. Where are you at, Peggy? Direct in the Hebrew is the word arak, A-R-A-K. It's right next to the blank. See it in the parentheses? It means, little translation means to arrange. It means to arrange. And then number two, consistent prayer is complete, like you complete a sentence. You have all the necessary parts, there's your blank, is parts and steps. She got everything? Okay. Everybody's all right? Okay. It's interesting, the definition here talks about having all, not just all parts and elements and steps, but the key word in this is one that you didn't have to write in. It's the word necessary. Necessary. And the word necessary simply means that it's fully carried out. God, I want this prayer to be fully carried out, to direct my steps, order them, and make sure it gets all the way through to accomplish that goal, knowing God, making God known. Notice the scripture at the very bottom. You're familiar with Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayer. And that phrase, all prayer, talks about all occasions of prayer, but also all various types of prayer or requests and supplication. Look what it says, in the Spirit. He is our intermediate one, in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, or being persistent, and supplication for all saints. So we are to be praying for all the saints. All right, next page over, if everybody's got all their blanks. We're going to run through some stuff here because we've got a lot to cover here on this area here. But this is what we call cultivating a complete prayer program. If you want to enhance your prayer program, if you want to be able to pray, as Jesus said, what, could you not pray with me 1 hour? This will help give you the tool to be able to accomplish that. It says here on your page there at the top, my most important appointment today is with Jesus. Would you all agree to that? Any day that comes around, this is the day that the Lord has made. And that means if he's made it, he's given us another opportunity. You woke up, amen? And that your most important appointment is with Jesus. Yep. And so he wants us to be able to, as he talked with the disciples, he wants us to be able to set aside an hour of prayer. Matthew chapter 26, look at the scripture, verse 40 and 41. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. The spirit has no problem taking time to pray. Folks, you understand that there's going to be a battle for prayer because the flesh is not willing. And you could be sitting there in your easy chair that you just finished reading your devotions and you read through your passages of scripture and now it's time to pray and you're thinking, I got a lot to do today, you know. And so the flesh is trying to make reasons and excuses not to pray or don't take time. You're going to be all right, you know. And the Spirit saying, no, 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 we need this. We have this divine important appointment. So look, if you would, on your sheet here. It talks about cultivating a one-hour, 12-step prayer program. Now, this is from the guy who has designed these classes here. He has a book that I have that it's entitled The Hour That Changes the World. It is a really, really good book. There are some things in his teaching on prayer, because it's all about prayer. There's some things in the area of his teaching on prayer that I have to say, how come God never does that for me? How come I never see God do this? Because he's explaining things that God has done for him in prayer. And sometimes, I'm just going to say it, sometimes we think because God hasn't done it for us and he's done it for somebody else, we don't believe it. Or we think, well, that's not scriptural. Sorry. I tell you what, if you go to the book of Acts, which is, I think, still New Testament, is it not? I think Acts actually is not just New Testament. I don't think the book of Acts is done yet. Paul never signed off or Luke never signed off on that book. I think it's a continue. I think we are a part of the book of Acts. And there's a lot of things that Joel said was going to happen during the New Testament church age. Your old men. Your old men will see visions and the young men will have dreams. I believe in the completed word of God. That doesn't say God can't do something outside of that, folks. And he talks about some of those things, not regular events, but things that God has done through spending, long periods of prayer and fasting. And who am I to say, I don't know about that one? Because evidently, this guy has a handle on with God in his prayer time much higher than I, or much deeper than I do. But anyway, he gives us some of these insights. But the book overall is fantastic. It will enhance your prayer life if you apply the truth. You have this circle, this diagram here. Over at around 10 o'clock on your diagram, you have number one, how you would start your 1 hour of prayer. These are all in pie shapes. They're all representation of 5 minutes, okay? And so the first thing that you start out with is praise. Recognize God's nature. Take 5 minutes to praise God when you begin. Sometimes we get right into it. Lord, I need this. Or, well, I want you to do this. Watch where we get to that. Start off with 5 minutes of praise and then 5 minutes, number two, of silent soul surrender. The Bible says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Just sometimes zip it and let the Holy Spirit give you peace and maybe even speak to your heart during that time. Then you go into from waiting to confession. It's what he calls temple cleansing. Psalm 139, you're asking God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. I tell you what, there's some things that you and I can take time to confess, and we know that it's there, right? We have to confess it. We know that we've done something. But this is not what he's asking. He's asking God, go deeper, deeper, deep down inside me. Those little crevices that are way down inside me that I don't even know their sin lies. Show me that. He wants a complete temple cleansing. Then the fourth area, now you're in it at 4 times 5 minutes. You're 20 minutes into it. You are of scripture praying, word-enriched prayer, they call it. Number five, you have watching. Develop a holy alertness. You're to watch and pray. Intercession comes in finally 30 minutes into it. It's a remember the word, the world, excuse me. Number seven is petition, where you're sharing your personal needs. 35 minutes into your prayer time, you don't even get into petitions until you're over halfway through. Many times we're guilty of making it not only the first thing, but maybe the only thing. Number eight is thanksgiving. Confess my blessings. In everything, Paul said, give thanks. take time to say, Lord, I just want to take 5 minutes to thank you and let the Holy Spirit direct you. Then you have singing. You ever sing to the Lord in your prayer time? I have a songbook with me when I have my prayer, and it's one of the things I do with it. Well, if I don't know the song, but I'll read the words and make it sound the way I want it to sound. And it doesn't sound like country music, all right? After singing, there's meditation, total spiritual themes, and James 1:8 talks about that. Listening, number 12, you end with praise. You start your time with praise, you end your time in praise. You're going to spend 10 minutes praising God. This one, the first time you were recognizing his nature, and you close out doing the same thing. So on your bottom of your page, now look at step one. Here you go, your blanks. The first one is praise, okay? Praise. 5 minutes praising God. Now understand, a lot of people say, well, I can't pray for an hour. But I'll guarantee you, if you'll take this program he has here and just start taking, look at your clock and say, okay, it's 6 in the morning. I'm going to praise you, God, till 6:05. I'll guarantee you that if you'll be serious and about it, you'll see that 5 minutes will go pretty quick. It moves pretty quick. So step one is praise. It's a time of exaltation. There's your next blank. Your first 5 minutes is a time of exalting him. It's a time of exaltation, praise. The scripture says in Psalm 70 and verse 4 that all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. 5 minutes of that. Next page is step number 2, and that is waiting. 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 It is a time of anticipation, exaltation, anticipation. The scripture says in Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6, listen to what he says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Now, when you read this verse here, it begins with, I wait for the Lord. It doesn't say that you're waiting on the Lord. It says you're waiting for the Lord. And when you look up that word wait, it means that the psalmist, remember, he says, I wait for the Lord more than those that are watching for the morning. That's what that word wait is talking about. It's referring to David here, as people are saying, man, I'll sure be glad when it's morning. He said, I'll sure be glad when the Lord is revealing himself to me in this time. It means to look forward to have an expectation, to look eagerly for and hope that he will show up. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. You're talking about here a person who is in a love relationship. So we have this waiting as anticipation. Step number 3, now we get into confession. Confession. And by the way, I'm convinced that if you spend time 5 minutes exalting and then 5 minutes looking for the Lord, I'll guarantee you, confession, woe is me, I am undone. Okay? So step 3 is confession. And by the way, the word confession here means simply to agree with God. When God shows you something, you agree. You don't reason it away. You agree. I'm guilty, yeah. And here is a time, confession is a time of examination. There's your next blank. Examination. In Psalm 32, verse 5, listen to what David said. He says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. I not only have knowledge of my sin, but I'm declaring that I know that you know I have this sin. I'm acknowledging it to you. I'm agreeing with you that I have this sin. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou, look what it says, and thou forgavest the iniquity or the lawlessness of my sin. Step number 4, after confession, there is scripture prayer. Scripture praying, scripture prayer, however you want to put it. So after confession, step 4 is scripture praying. It's interesting. Jesus says, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You remember when they would come into the tabernacle, they would enter the court with their animal for sacrifice. The animal would be slain, the blood would be applied, and then the priest would go from that position over to the laver, the brass laver, which was made up of women's mirrors, actually, and it was polished brass. It was like a look, it was their looking glass, which the Bible tells us that his word is like a looking glass, looking into the perfect law of liberty and seeing yourself. But you also have the cleansing where they're washing themselves, the cleansing of the word, before they can go in and begin to serve. So we see this is all following a pattern here that's very, very important. So you have scripture praying. It is a time of, here's your big word, appropriation. It's a time of appropriation. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing. There's your passage there. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had made mention earlier about scripture praying, and it should be something that actually should be common that we do. I made mention like Psalm 5, we just read that, give ear to my words. Use that as part of your prayer. Put yourself in that prayer request. Here was another one I used was the prayer of Jabez. Listen to what it says. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now watch. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, so God's allowing us to go back in time and to listen to what Jabez is praying to God. And by the way, it even gives us the answer to the prayer. Listen to what Jabez prayed. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. How many of you would like to have God bless you in your deeds and all that you do? He's asking for that. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. That word phrase means give me greater borders. Help me to step out of my comfort zone, my box. And by the way, when you ask for increased borders, you're asking for increased responsibility as well. Okay? He wanted that. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep or guard me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That's all he asked for. Bless me, expand my borders, let your hand be upon me, keep me from evil so that my sin doesn't bring grief to me or my family. And that's all he prayed. And then it says here at the end of verse 10, and God granted him which he requested. I've used that prayer a lot. When I was at Fair Park, and Fair Park is set up just like this. I mean, good night. Replica sanctuary. Except the pews went all the way back. And when I was there, I'd be in my study and I'd come out for my prayer time. And I prayed that prayer every single time I was out there. And I'd walk on the outside of the walls around, come around, and I just walked. And it's amazing. I pray better when I'm walking and talking out loud than I am just sitting quietly. It's more active for me and stuff like that. But here we see that you can take these prayers and pray Scripture back. Excuse me. Step number five is watching. Watching. It literally means to be attentive, to stay on guard, stay alert. Why do you think that's needed in prayer? How many of you start drifting? I can start drifting listening or reading Scripture. My mind can go off. So we need to be alert against being drifters in that area. So being watching, and it's a time of observation. There's your blank. It's a time of observation. Look what he says in Colossians 4:2. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That phrase watch here, where he's saying continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, literally means give strict attention to what you're doing. Don't drift. Be careful. It is. Step number six, and this will be halfway through your hour of prayer. Intercession. You're praying for other people now. You know what this means? We don't think of it. We're getting involved in other people's life through prayer. It's a time, here's your next blank, of intervention. You're intervening on the behalf of someone else. It could be your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your church family, friends. It's a time of intervening. Scripture, 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and then he says intercessions, excuse me, and giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Folks, I'll tell you what, when you are, if you are, and using your prayer map, and I'm assuming you are, as you open up your prayer map and praying, not just for the country, but I also just pray, Lord, I don't know who the leaders are, but I pray that you would change their hearts as well. I mean, we're praying for everybody. We're not just praying for a piece of land. We're praying for the souls of men in those areas. We just passed through, by the way, North America and all that, did we not? And now we're coming down into the other area towards Brazil and that stuff there as we're traveling. Number seven on the next page. Step number seven is petition. Now you have your needs that you're bringing about. Petition, step seven. 5 minutes to ask God, to petition God. It's a time of expectation, a time of expectation. You're walking, you're in sweet fellowship. You remember when you read about there was a man who the Bible says was named Enoch, and Enoch, it says, walked with God. And it says that he was not, for God took him. It also says something that's very important. You see, the most important thing that we read about Enoch isn't that he was taken. It says that he, before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. That was the most important. While he was still here on earth, that was his testimony. I think, what is our testimony to everybody? And so here we see, and by the way, that phrase, when it says that he walked with God, it means that Enoch stayed in step with God, and he was conversant with God, listening and petitioning. It says here in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And it's interesting that in the New Testament Greek, the word ask, seek, and knock are continuous. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And Jesus uses the petition of the importune widow. She understood this in this area. So we have that area of petition and expectation. Step number eight is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving follows our petitions. 5 minutes of thanking him. A time of expressed gratitude. There's your next blank. A time of expressed gratitude. Is everybody keeping up on your blanks? The scripture is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers there. He says, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you can put your name in there. Kevin, in everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, Kevin. You want to know what God's will is? Right there. Be thankful. For all things, in everything. And then we have that passage where Paul writes that all things work together for good. So a lot of things that we're thanking him for aren't things that we want to say, hey, thanks, man, I appreciate that, you know, happening. But it will work together somehow. And then step number nine is singing. Singing. This is a time of edification. Edification. Speaking, Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. That's where it's all centered from, to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 10. And by the way, that's 5 minutes of singing scripture or hymns. Number 10 is meditation. Meditation here is a time to evaluate or evaluation. Man, you've already been talking with God, listening to God, confessing to God, singing to God for 50 minutes. And now you're slowing down to meditate. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Look what it says, day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. A lot of the promises of God have what we would call couplers on them. If you go watch the trains, they have couplers, and they link together, and you can't have one without the other, okay? How many of you all want to have good success? Huh? How many of you want to prosper? And it might not be always wealth. It could be spiritual, it could be health, all those things. He said, well, do those, and you do your part, and I'll do mine. Okay? Step 11 is listening. Listening. We have waiting, which is a love for God. We have meditating, which is probing God. Now we have listening, that's hearing God. And in the blank below, it's a time of revelation. When we are listening, God can reveal himself. I, John said, being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he wrote the whole book of Revelation because he was listening. Look what it says, Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God wants to reveal more about himself in our time of prayer. That's why when I read the book that I mentioned earlier by Dick Eastman, where he talks about God revealing himself to him in times of prayer, I can't call him into question because I might not be at that depth or that intimacy that he is. I think that there's things that God wants to reveal reveal to us about himself that we don't even know, that he would love to. But we're not ready. We're not ready. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee, reveal to thee great and mighty things, which what? You don't know. So there's things that people may know that you and I don't know about God. And then step 12 is praise. We started with praise. We end with praise. It's a time of jubilation. Jubilation. 1 Chronicles 16:10, it says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now, real quick, this is not in your area, but I did it for me. 1 hour a day. I mean, God did give us as a gift 24 hours, correct? He just says, can you pray with me 1 hour? That's 300, if you did it daily, that's 365 hours a year walking and conversing with God in prayer. When you take that 365 hours of prayer and put it into time and a different time frame, it equals a little over 15.2 weeks. 15.2 weeks that you spent that year just in prayer, just praying 1 hour a day. That means you spent over two weeks, praising him, waiting on him, confessing him, quoting scripture to him, watching for him, interceding for others in his name, petitioning him, thanking him, singing to him, meditating on him, listening to him, and praising him. 2 weeks, over 2 weeks worth. Am I wrong on that? Somebody's doing some figuring there. If I'm wrong, let me know. 1 hour is a worthy goal. So here's our afterthoughts. Ponder the value of having a specific plan, which you have in your outline there, or program for prayer. How does having a plan of prayer contribute to helping us be more faithful and more consistent daily? I tell you what, you take away my prayer map, I won't pray around the world. I'll be very inconsistent and hit and miss. But I can go around the whole world in 30 days and pray for every nation, that God would rebuke the principalities and powers, that God would remove the blinders from the lost, that the saved would go out there as we pray for laborers to go out, the Christians to go out, that God would open up doors of opportunity, that they would receive it into their hearts, that they'd gladly receive God's word, that they'd be baptized and saved, and that they too would go back out, and that God would evangelize their nation. Here's where we're at tonight, prayer points. We don't have as much time set aside because we had so much to cover. Take time to practice 2 of the 12 steps tonight. Watching, interceding, that's just examples. Being silent for a few minutes, observe your heart and circumstances or individual intercessory, whatever it is. You go back, flip back to your page there with your thing on it or wherever it talks about one of the things listed. Pick out just 2 of them and take and use them right now. By yourself tonight. It's individual praying again tonight. And take, here's the trick. I hope you're all with me on this. How much are you supposed to be praying on each one of these? 5 minutes? So that would take you, everybody here, 10 minutes, right? Well, according to this, we only have 5 minutes left. So we can either do it 2.5 minutes, or we can say, you know what, we'll go 5 minutes over. All right, take 5 minutes, pick 2 of them, just whichever ones you want. And take, now I would encourage you not to just pick the waiting and watching, because you'll doze off, man, in 10 minutes, all right? Or the singing, but you're doing it from the heart, it says anyway. But anyway, take 2 of them and use 2 of those, and then I'll close in prayer for us tonight, all right?